a wave offering that's also a sin offering that's done, used to be administered by the Levite priest. Now we just do it with a set of envelopes and whatever. I mean, the question is, that does it get away, get a clean slate? Yes. And then, of course, don't try that because you're playing footsie with somebody on Saturday night, and every Sunday you have to make a sin offering. That one ain't gonna fly. You get one good trip at this. So what if we're in an unhappy marriage till death do us part? There's only one legitimate reason for a man to be able to get a divorce, and that is because of infidelity or adultery with his wife. But for women, there are two. One is neglect, because if she's a first wife, and he takes a second wife, nothing about her, neither her food or raiment or wife or duty or whatever is called diminished. Doesn't make a damn bit of difference if he gets 50 wives. Each one in order has their standing. But having a wife or a concubine in the house is different than just being out hopping in the sack with every goddamn whore there is in sight. That one is a justifiable to walk out of a marriage for a woman with. Her husband is out chasing the skirts, she can unload his ass. Just as simple as that. But that one, or an abuse, neglect, whatever, she doesn't have to be beat up every Friday night because he managed to buy two beers on the way home. I've seen those. But generally speaking, male only has adultery to get rid of a wife. That's it. And if he's going to be in a bishop in the church, in the faith, as it's called, he can be the husband of one wife. That's where that single matrimony thing came from. That is, only applies to someone who will be a bishop in the church. Nobody else. This frankly does not apply the rest of the way across the board. I don't care how many hallelujah hats that you prefer. The second stage of the game, and there are stages on it, any kind of abuse, spousal abuse, in either direction, actually, is justifiable cause to dissolve a marriage. Got any specific questions about that? Okay. Whether a marriage is happy or unhappy does not matter. You burn to blister, you stay with it, and you stay faithful to it. That. And the reason why a man can have as many wives as he wants and a woman can't have as many husbands is because the child has the right to know his lineage, what his birthright position is in the lineage of the father. And it's an absolute right. It's not something, well, I can do it over here and not there. No. The child has the right, one, to know who their father is, and know without any question or doubt. And the only way to do that, of course, is for there only to be one father, or male sire, in the marriage. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, our big problem is we know what we're doing, but sometimes we forget why we're doing it. Who the hell are we targeting? And while you can target Islam and the Catholic Church with equal abandon, or any of the hallelujah half-wits, you don't want to jump off our spearhead, which are the socialists. And why? If you look through history, you will find that the United States and England are Ephraim and Manasseh. Well, Jacob named his name and his father's name on those two sons, and gave those two sons the birthright that should have went to Reuben. But he did give the scepter, the identity, to Judah. Gave the priesthood to Levi. But the Israel, modern-day Israel, is not this bunch of hooked noses running up and down the Temple Mount throwing rocks at Arabs. That is Judah. The nation may be called Israel. It is not the people of Israel. All Jews are Israelites, but all Israelites are not Jews. This is Israel. And they talk about, oh, you got to pray for Israel. Right. And you haven't enough goddamn sense to know who it is. So when you hear that, know that you're talking to a fool. We are Israel, United States and England, Ephraim and Manasseh. Simple as that. And then when someone is screwing with the United States, like this bunch of goddamn communists we've got in office right now, they are targeting Israel, and we are Israel, and we will fight. The fact that we're the Assyrians, the spiritual tribe of Abraham, within Israel is the privilege. Now, I want you to think about something, because the current national and global crisis is not simply a banking crisis or a mortgage crisis or a credit crisis. Now, while these exist economically, and there's more to it than the economics, I assure you, these things are merely single sentences in the whole story of the grand plan of total global enslavement. And it's up to us, the Assyrians, to expose these damn nations to the world that will listen and exterminate all those programs, agendas, and perpetrators, including the perpetual tip suckers who give any of it, even a cursory appearance of legitimacy. You've got an entire square miles, literally, of housing coming into Chicago, these big high-rise buildings, all of it affordable housing. Nobody in there that isn't on welfare. And they have to tear those buildings down about every 7 to 8 years because they are so destroyed by the people that tell. Every one of them has a gang master that actually runs the place. That's his girl. Every goddamn one of them. And they're doing it on taxpayer money. Now that's a situation that we as the Assyrians have got to be 1,001% against, because that's only one of them. That is only one of the problems. But that's the beauty. Now, as all true and righteous Assyrians know, along with everybody else with more brains than a brick, something of historic proportions is happening. We're seeing it. We're living in it. Assyrians can sense it because Assyrians know how it feels, smells, and what it looks like, and how people react to it. The average person has their freaking clue. But a perfect storm is brewing here. That's the part that brought this particular session about. I don't know whether you know anything about meteorology, but a perfect storm is the end result of three or more weather patterns merging in the same place at the same time. And they make a storm of the century, as they call them, a 100-year storm. It's called a perfect storm because it's absolutely devastating. Well, that same thing is happening within the country, and it's been evolving in hard now for about 50 years. And the pace has quickened considerably in the past 5, and it's off the scale and runaway in the last 2. Now, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. We demand and codify into law the requirement that our banks make massive loans to people we know damn well can't pay the loan back. That's a Barney Frank. And now Barney Frank wants to do the same goddamn thing again. One of his bills pending before the legislature right now is a repeat of the same goddamn thing called subprime loans that collapsed all that bullshit to start with. And he's getting administration support. Now, that'll ring an alarm bell among you people. I'm going to have order Harper's fixed. This nation is going down unless we, the Agrarians, kick some serious guts. And I mean serious guts. We're going to get to that. Now, just a few days ago, for an example, and without any oversight except for the God Jews involved, the Fed, the Federal Reserve, loaned, get this, $2 trillion. That's a two followed by 12 zeros to the decimal point. $2 trillion over the last couple of months, but one won't tell anybody who they loaned it to, or why, or disclose the terms. $2 trillion. That's three times the $700 billion bailout. If you can take the word from me for this, it's all earmarked tax due. Now, we got a few questions. One, who has this money? Why did it happen? Why are the terms unavailable to the people whose money it is? Who asked for it? Who authorized it? And was this a government of we, the people who owned our powers, to the elected leaders? Or are we just being sold out second by second with no relief in sight? That's the kind of people that we've got to target. That's why we are targeting who we're targeting. Now, we spent the last decades deliberately and intentionally deindustrializing our economy. Think about that. In World War II, we built four battleships. They were the Bismarck class, which meant they were almost 900 feet long. About 870 feet is a rule of the thumb. We built the Iowa, which was the first one, that's why they're called Iowa class. We built the Wisconsin, the New Jersey, and the Missouri. The four of them. And if you remember, a few years back, the Iowa number two gun turret exploded and put that battleship out of commission. It has nine gun turrets on it and three big mounted pods. But we no longer have either the technology or the industry to repair that gun mount. The fact that it's obsolete is beside the point. That is a heavy industry. We no longer have heavy industry to be able to repair that gun mount. If we can't repair the gun mount, then we can't make the 100-ton presses and industrial hammers, locomotives, and everything else that we need. We can no longer build sufficient rolling stock because we can't process the metal for the wheels, the axles, the rails, nothing. We buy the steel from somebody else that we're using to put in our road beds. We're buying the steel and the iron and everything else that we're using to rebuild a bridge. Why isn't that being made in the United States? You can start with cat Jew on one end, and you're going to end with socialist on the other. And we've intentionally dumbed down all of our schools, ignoring our history, and they no longer teach founding documents. They don't teach why we're exceptional or why we're even worth preserving. Students, by and large, cannot write, cannot think critically, cannot read, and cannot articulate. And the parents are not up in revolt, teachers are not picketing, and school boards continue to match the mediocrity. They've got billions of dollars for remedial lessons in reading, writing, and arithmetic, but what the hell happened to the money when they should have been learning that to start with? That employs a bunch of second layer of teachers to teach the same thing that the first one didn't teach, loads the place with administrators, which means you've got a bunch of goddamn paper shufflers running the schools and then wonder why Johnny can't read, write, or count. The goddamn thing is loaded with tax Jews, incompetents, and socialists. That's why. And of course, we've got to protest every close election. Like this fiasco in California. Proposition 8 only said one thing, and it went through by a vast majority. But in the United States, which this is the state's right to put it together, there's nothing about same-sex marriage and the Constitution at all. California's Proposition 8 simply stated that a marriage would be defined as between one man and one woman. I covered the why of one woman marriage earlier. That's all it said. A queer judge got up and throws the goddamn thing out. Another judge did the same thing when California voted down gun control by a 3-1 margin. Some judge went through and threw the whole goddamn thing out. Now what's wrong with that picture? Now why can't we get rid of that goddamn judge? And all judges like it. Well, let me tell you why. Back in the days of Kennedy, when I was a Democrat and got tired of taking orders from Moscow, they had a wall that they finally railroaded through that nobody could sit on a judicial bench except someone who was a member of the Bar Association. The lawyers in charge of the law because they have the experience. Horse shit! It turned over an entire third of the United States constitutional government to one educated class of people. And sometimes I wonder about their education. You go to Columbia Law School, and the biggest goddamn problem you'll have is finding someone that is not a Marxist. The hot dog vendors out on the street are Marxists. And all those goddamn high-powered people going through there and graduating with law degrees are Marxists. That's why. That's who. But we're not done yet. Now, we've totally corrupted this political process by allowing unelected judges to write laws they're supposed to interpret, but they write laws that radically change our way of life. And then mainstream Marxist groups like ACORN and others turn the voting system into a full corruption from one end to the other and get paid to do it on taxpayer money, and you can't stop them. Now, what's wrong with that? Damn sure something wrong with it now, isn't there? And we're not done. Socialists never quit. Our entire free enterprise economy has been totally devastated from the inside by socialists as criminal Jews. And they're protected from any legal recourse against them. It did not start with Bill Clinton's NAFTA, or for that matter, Nixon's trade agreement with China. The attack on the U.S. economy and ability to produce began in the 1850s with the first injections of Marx soon after its publication. And against the very sound advice of the founding fathers, starting then, to avoid foreign entanglements, the race was on to see how many great mutual interest agreements the U.S. could get involved in. The fact that we had a lot of material, we had gold in a lot of ways. We had trees. That's right, trees. had so many straight and beautiful trees, the very kind you need to build a navy out of, ships for the mast and everything else, because Europe and England had already cut down the major part of their forts. They were out of wood, so that wood was gold. And we no longer have that timber anymore. We were cutting the wood, getting involved in trade agreements, because France didn't want England to have the wood. England didn't want France to have it. Neither one of them wanted Spain to have it. Spain didn't want Portugal to have it. Portugal and Spain together didn't want the Dutch to have it, because whoever had the navy had the commerce. And you know what we didn't do? We used it for our own. The socialists had already infected and infested our commerce. It was all about the dollar to start with. They always play the dollar. That's the part the tax Jew can handle the best, playing the dollar. And they'll play it on a socialist game every goddamn time, because that's the one that works. Now, those entanglements always come with internal changes in our society, and anything that's an excuse, and especially slavery. Now, you put that situation in the hands of cat Jews held in on socialism, and the Civil War was inevitable. Had all the states then and there abolished slavery, the cat Jews would have taken the next mantra, black poverty, and instigated a Civil War, because they sell to both sides. When the simple and affordable solution was, and still is, sound academic education. That's why they infiltrated schools and screwed them up to one end or the other. Because when a person has a sound education and can get into college level or what have you, postgraduates, they can make a damn good living. But that's because they know how to think rather than what to think. Now, the socialists have to maintain control of the ignorant and dependent, especially those with the power to vote, to keep them in charge of their constantly created crisis after crisis until they have legislated themselves into an absolute government stranglehold. And if anyone can't see that setting today in every county, every state capital, and the United States capital itself, then there ain't a goddamn thing wrong with any of you that a brand new set of brains wouldn't cure. But that's where that is. And if you want to know what's wrong with the nation, scratch it. You'll find a tax due to the socialist, and you'll find a governmental stranglehold on being able to do anything about it until we throw all the bastards out. Now, everybody else in the world can see our situation. I don't know why we can't. I think it's because we don't. We believe too much of the media, including Fox News. If you don't believe Fox News at all, and they're the best of the pile, then that'll give you one guess how far you should believe any of the rest of them. And only one guess. That should be all we need. And think about it. Our banking, stock exchange, mortgage industries totally collapsed. Housing prices are in a free fall. What major industries we have left are failing, like the car and aircraft companies. Our currency is on the verge of collapse. Social Security is already bankrupt, along with Medicare and our entire government. Our education is worse than a joke, and that list is staggering. Economically, we are in the same potential of 1929, except it's 100 times worse, and it's getting worse for the second. We're at war with an enemy we can't even a name listed by political correctness, we offend some son of a bitch under the so-called religion. And that religion, in turn, cannot wait to slit the throats of the children if they get the opportunity. Now think about that. You can't say we're at war with ISIL. Well, then who the hell are we fighting, Charlie McCarthy? And if Islam is such a religion, and any morality about it, which it doesn't, they would take these criminals because they know who they are, and they're in violation of everything that they profess is in the Quran, and they would put them on trial for the murdering bastards they are, and hang them, because that's the penalty in Islam for murder. They hang them because a hangman is an abomination to God. But are they doing that? Then if they're not doing that, they are accessories to and after the fact of the crimes, which means we're at war with Islam. And we're caught in the middle of their own goddamn civil war between the Shiites and the Sunnis. They started a war over the fact that one side says that only the descendants of Muhammad could ever become high-level clerics. Or clerics at all, for that matter. The other side says, no, anybody that is righteous should be able to. They went to war over it, and they've been killing each other over that doctrine for nearly 1,000 years. That's why we're caught in the middle of this stuff. The Sunnis will blow up the Shiites, and the Shiites will blow up the Sunnis, and the fact is there's Americans caught in the middle, and it looks like they're attacking us. If we're dumb enough to be there, that's exactly what they're going to do. When they start to take out one another, they don't give a damn about collateral damage. And neither should you. Let God sort them out. And now let's take this jerk we got in the White House, for instance. But he's one of our targets. His entire platform came in a word of change. Sure was. Change everything from the U.S. Constitution to the Communist Manifesto. He campaigned on bringing people together, something he has never done anywhere else. He never brought people together. He always attempted to divide along philosophical lines. And he's doing it now, which is just a part of him trying to realign the pieces into some new globalist socialism horseshit. Well, change is indeed coming. And when it does, this nation is never going to be the same again. It's never going to be as good as I knew it as a kid growing up. And these impending horrors are only the beginning. Now, I want you to put yourself in a bit of a mind frame here. Can you imagine what the ordinary, moral German felt in the mid-30s when Germany was a shambles by tax-Jew design and the savior was a slow-talking rabble-rouser from the streets about whom the average German didn't know a damn thing? What they should have known was that he was associated with groups that shouted, shoved, and pushed around other people with whom they disagreed, just like the communists did when they took over the unions and all the rest of it. And then once they got control, Jews again, of the media, everybody else was a looter and to blame. Now in our case, the conservative losers read it correctly now. But 99% of them will only appease this guy and pussy pants it until they're out of time to do something. We cannot let that happen. Are there any questions? Any questions about which kind of final power we need and why we need it? And why we need to do this to overuse the term religiously? We have to do this at all costs.
Well, I have a question along that line.
Okay.
To effectively enhance, I guess I should say, or up the power that we have. That's my constant effort and endeavor. Explain to us about the use of dark energy and dark matter, and how we can practically use that as an enhanced up in the power grid.
Okay. For those that don't know, dark energy and dark matter, depending on which tattoo scientist you listen to, makes up about 75 to 85% of all of known creation. It's only one problem. You can't detect either one. Mathematically, they can prove it's there, but they can't detect it, which means they can't use it. They don't know what the hell it is. But they do know that mathematically, there is a difference between the matter and the energy. And they don't know which one has the biggest handle on that. The most conservatives say there's about as much dark energy as there is dark matter.
Okay.
Fine. You can almost buy that. Because that too is bullshit. It's totally out of the realm. And just like the planet Earth. Which is it mostly? Is it matter or is it energy? Well, if you break the matter down, you find energy. But which is it in its present state? If it's compressed light, compressed energy, then you can say it's about equal. Because if there's 100 tons of energy compressed into anything, it still weighs 100 tons. What becomes matter? Mathematically, that makes sense. But for those that are playing around with forces like a constant air, fire, water, and earth, we know that those energies are different from one another. They do not weigh the same. They do not feel the same. They do not act the same. So let me explain what dark energy and dark matter really are. They're the planes of heaven. They are the realms of heaven, if you want to put it that way. Because when you get into the quantum, which is a fancy word for frequency in some cases, quantum physics means that everything operates at a different frequency. Well, pray tell me what in the hell is new about that to an Aquarian. So, as we can take a spirit of somebody and float that son of a bitch down and throw his ass in hell and make him stay there, we can also take heavenly energies and bring it down, or lower energies and bring it up. We can bring up hell and stick it in somebody's ass. We don't do that nearly efficiently enough from my point of view. And we certainly don't do it often enough. But we can do it. We can also bring the heavenly energies, if that's what you want to call them, from however high you can get, will still work, and bring it down, literally, actually, right into the earth plane. Now, where is the earth plane? It is that 40% in the middle between the overlap of the etheric plane and the Deimos depth. You bring it down to there, and you only have to bring it down to the top of that, and you can make it manifest in Earth. Now, what you want to do with it is your business, but you better have your mind made up before you start. And it's going to take a little time for it to manifest. Time and gravity, it has to get into a gravity mode. Because all matter, regardless, has some degree of gravity. And if you're watching the documentaries, they'll tell you that Mars does not have a flowing magnetic field of magma like the planet does, because the magma that was there, the hot is now cooled to the point that it's solid, where ours is still liquid. Okay? Then they infer that there's no gravity. They completely get off the subject right there because they don't want you to know about gravity. But the moment you deal with gravity, you're also dealing with time. So if you take dark matter and dark energy, and you can take the higher the frequency, the better for all intents and purposes, and you invoke it, even in the blank, get up in the heavens and do your invocations. That means you have to move the energy. You can take that material from any plane, in theory, take some practice to do it, but in theory, take that material from any plane and put it in any other plane. And you can do it with invocations and a clear thought pattern. If you want to think out, I'm going to do this to get this, click, 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 click. And go through the training that you've been given, because you're taught how to handle energies. If you're taught how to handle a conscience to make room for something, which you have to do, it's a simple process, then you can go get that dark matter and that dark energy and direct it as you damn well please. The fact that the scientific community can't do that is their problem. That is not a problem for the occurrence, nor should we give a goddamn about it being their problem, because I certainly don't care. They can't handle it just yet. We have our capabilities, and that's one of them. Any questions about dark energy and how to handle it, or dark matter? Okay, next question.
Okay, since you're talking about bringing it in and out of the plane, or up and down on the plane, and when the types of things were 18, and
yeah,
we're getting out, or then, you know, start feeling the body of light, like it really is a separate entity that's attached to it, how do we direct the ear where we're going? And if, for example, what I really want to do, okay, let's say I can achieve the etheric plane out of body.
Okay.
And it looks like Earth Body Double inside my house. Well, I want to be able to go to the White House and sit in on Ron Emanuel's nasty ass little scheme. I want to have a heads up on what their plans are. I will say I want to go to China. I want to see what their next move is. You know, how the Hong Kong can't do to manipulate the money. What's next? How do I make for sure that my spirit goes there?
Okay. Did somebody come in or somebody fall out? Hello?
I heard a lot of clicking when I was talking.
Yeah, it sounded like somebody got disconnected and dialed back in. Or somebody just dialed in, but not... Okay. Let's say that you're dealing now, and you have a difference in your recognition between a body of light and your own spirit. What you're trying to do, the object is to go from where you are and sneak in on the secret meetings of the globalist masters for a short stint. Okay. Hello?
It's me. I got caught up in goddamn son of a bitch.
Okay, we got it. Question is, once you can get a body of light in your own spirit and want to be out into the effort, and you wanted to snoop on some globalist manipulator, Geithner, for instance, how do you do it? Okay. Go take some practice. You're never going to get me off of that one. If you're doing it with a body of light, which you can, you have to train that body of light until it does what you want it to do, and half of that is making sure that you let it tell you what it's seeing, experiencing, etc., rather than you telling it. You tell it a where, it tells you what is there. Now that's a fine line, and it takes some practice. But the same thing applies, with one big difference, if you're trying to use your own conscious spirit. You're trying to get up in the spirit, as it's called in the Bible. And you're using your own spirit rather than a body of light. Now let me explain what happens there and why it takes practice. Your spirit, all of them, the different bodies, and you have a different spirit body, believe it or not, for every plane of existence. That series of spirit bodies are connected to the physical body and to each other by what is called a silver cord, for the want of a better thing. That is what it looks like. It's attached at about the navel. And it, while it can stretch infinitely long, you can really, with practice, go to the far side of creation. You really can with it. But it's also the cord that will help you get back into your body should you get out there and get in a bit of a mess. And there's a lot of messes out there. So the reason you can't kind of get out in your living room and then suddenly go to Washington, D.C., is because you haven't practiced enough to get the liquidity of that silver cord so that it will stretch that far. That's the hang-up. Now, needless to say, it's much easier to practice that silver cord than the average person would imagine. As a matter of fact, if you practice it the way we teach, you'll forget you've even got the damn thing that you needed to get back home. And here's how you practice that. But make up your mind whether you're using a body of light or your own conscious spirit. You can't do both at the same time. That won't work. The main reason is the body of light has no such silver cord. And it can get out there and get lost unless you bring it back. It depends entirely on you because it's your creation. If you want to practice making a body of light, then send it ahead of you into the next room or whatever. Make it tell you what's there. But don't send it over to the neighbors because that only contaminates things. That's a problem. That's why we tell you to stay in your own turf. You know what the hell you're doing. But you can send it out and send it over top of a city and read the whole damn city. That's like looking at a newspaper in front of you. If you take the body of light method, and which one takes the most practice, I don't know. I've seen quick successes with both. I've seen long tours of learning with both. I think that depends a great deal on the individual themselves. I would practice with this one. With one day I would use the spirit, the next day I would use the body of light to run through exactly the same drill. Simply because you're going to need them both anyhow. But once you practice by getting up in a plane, how do you get up a plane? The easiest thing in the world. Which one are you on? If you study the planes and you know which one you're on, then going up or down is simply a matter of concentrating on that next plane. By simply mentioning its name will work. And sooner it will come just simply because you're thinking of it. That's simple. And if you practice going up and down the planes in order. In order is critical. You start, you hear jackass and you want to project right up into Hazana, you're going to be in trouble because you won't know where the hell you're in Hazana or where the hell you're at. And time you get them confused, it takes that much more time to unconfuse them. So that's a problem. You don't want to get into that one. But let's say that you're out in your spirit. Not about in life, you're out in your spirit. And you're out for the hell of it in your living room. Now what you want to do is go into the lower astral. You don't have to go up on the roof. You go into the lower astral by first understanding that you're in the etheric. You take the etheric, and the next plane is lower astral, and you'll feel that shift as the vibration rate changes in your own spirit. Now, because you're in the astral doesn't mean that you can go any farther physically away from your body than you already are. So what you do, wherever your physical body is, you send your spirit to the farthest point. Don't pay any attention to walls or anything else. But stay in your house initially so you can get that one done. Then anywhere on your property. Then the next thing you do to get some distance, and you can go down and see what's under the house if you want to. Usually there's nothing to amount to a damn bear. Sometimes there is. Very, very seldom. But then you can go up. See how much altitude you can get. Now you're not going to Washington, D.C. now. You're going straight up. You're taking your etheric image away from your body, and you're going straight up. Now, what would you see around your house if you were looking at it from 500 feet? You have to let that body tell you, instead of you telling it, or you're going to be wrong at that. The practice is to let the body and the energy tell you. That's the hardest part of the practice. But that's how you do it. Then when you get that one, you'll find that you can do 500 feet tonight, and you meditate on it, you do your spirit body tomorrow night, and the next night, you can get 10 miles by for same effort. No problem at all. So once you start and get this thing properly, and you're consciously in that body, that's the next hurdle. You're consciously in that body, far side of the moon is impurity as the arm of your chair you're sitting in.
I have a question.
Alright.
Is there a better process or a more coherent process that we can transfer the consciousness more efficiently and effectively?
Yes, there is. And the way you train it, you were taught to stay in our physical body. That's why you don't put on your black clothes and go walking on the freeway. You get out in the yellow line of the freeway and suddenly you're going to be sprung all over the pavement. So we're taught to stay in the body. Now what we're trying to do is just exactly the opposite, to get out of it. Okay. But there's a bridge that you have to make. Some people have never used it, but a lot of people need it because it's a little harder to do in some respects, but it's simpler to explain. It takes a little more effort, but it's a hell of a lot simpler to explain, and some people can't set up a route for a thousand or one reason. Okay. What you do is make yourself what amounts to a permanent, or a longer lasting is a better term, and you stay away from permanent, body of light. It's the same as your physical body. You make a body of light that fits your physical body right down to the damn warts. Now, you train that body of light to do everything your physical body does all the time. And as you do that, because that is a spiritual link, you will also train your spirit at the same time. Because every once in a while, you'll take this body of light for the hell of it, stand it out in front of you, or past the passenger seat while you're driving, and then bring it back. Don't send it out there and forget about it. Get out there and bring it back. Train it, and train it, and train it. Because as you're training this body of life, it in turn is on the same communication level as your spirit, which is already on the etheric plane. Your consciousness right now is actually manifest on the etheric plane. So when you get that one trained, it will train the etheric bodies and everything else as you go. And then the etheric will train the lower axle and so forth. But that's the easy way to do it. It's a little harder to do than it sounds. But it's a doable. Okay? Next question. Now, that's a group of very deep thinking occurrences.
I have a question, Bobby.
Yeah.
Okay, what is our directive after you leave us?
First, get rid of all this bullshit between yourself. Get rid of these goddamn personality tantrums. They are always going to be there. I've had people as jackass over personality tantrums trying to come into the core. And they're all stupid when you bottom line them. Every goddamn one of them. I still got it, as a matter of fact. You ever seen one of these little expanding pointers? It's about the size of a ballpoint pen when you slide it all together. It looks like one of these telescoping antennas when you pull it out. I had one of those in my uniform one night. We were teaching and I was using it to touch stuff on the board to point things out. And one of the women, oh, that was an evil thing. It was just so weaponry and so dangerous. It's a pointer. But I would not put up with her pussy tangents and trying to run the core on these little weapon wine things, and she never came back. Well, you can see the grief all over me. I shouldn't stay in mourning like this. But things get that goddamn silly. You've got to get along. You don't have anybody else. This is the best and the most proficient group of metaphysicians on the planet. Unless you're just out here pussy here and dilly yonder on your own. And the moment you do that, you're worthless as sticks on a tadpole. To yourself, to the Most High, and to everything else. Got to get rid of that horseshit so you can get along together. You're going to work together. If somebody doesn't like the way you comb your hair, then they can keep their goddamn mouth shut about it. It's your hair. But there'll be rag tangents over that, I guarantee you. And that'll be your downfall. You're either going to work together and be the Grand Council, or you're going to be the biggest bunch of goddamn idiot taxis the planet ever put together. And it will be on your head, whichever way it falls. No one is going to do this for you. You are going to do it. Every one of you are here because of an innate spiritual search. And every one of you are here under exactly one term that changed you from the people that changed all the hallelujah halfway churches and refused to look anywhere else. Only one. And that is, when you went into a spiritual search, you wanted the truth, regardless of what it turned out to be. Bad, good, indifferent, warts and all. You wanted the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and damn the hindmost. And most of the time, truth is not very pretty. You go out and you look at a plane crash. With sometimes hundreds of bodies turned into thousands of pieces. There's nothing pretty about it. Not a damn thing pretty. But it sure as hell is the truth. And that's the way we got to look at things. If we're not about the business as a grand council, the old man's going to do exactly the same thing to us that he did to Levi. And damn well ought to. You're going to be about the business. You're going to learn your spiritualism. You're going to practice it without jumping off stupid into every half-cocked idea that you come up with. You're going to sit off the goddamn soap operas and be about holy law. And you can't say you don't know holy law. It's the first five books that every Bible ever printed. No excuse there. You can't say you don't know holy law. Well, that's the foundation block, and it's the best foundation there is. But once you're in compliance with holy law and you begin to look at it as much as from a spiritual sense as you do a physical sense, then suddenly the wave offering, and that's where the priest would be way to hell back. He wasn't in the Holy of Holies, but it might be open where they could see through to the veil anyhow, and he would just wave this offering, even though it's 400 feet away from the veil, and it still worked. Look at the spiritual energy on it when you read it in the Bible, how they did that. Okay? We are an elite, and I mean we are damned elite. We have none of the hang-up barriers that anybody else has. You get a seal, you're an Akurian. You're a Kurian first. That means that you are a member of the spiritual tribe of the children of Abraham. Whether you're out of Abraham's lineage or not, does not matter. This is a spiritual tribe. There's only one way to get here. You've got to find us. We don't go browbeating, trying to recruit. We're not sidewalk arm grabbers. We're not hallelujah half-wits. And we're certainly not Jehovah's Witnesses. They want to come around and talk to you about the terrible things of the end and of Jesus, and they don't know a thing about it. I lie to them every time. And the best way to get rid of them is say, oh, you're just the person I wanted to see. What's the name of the third heaven? They said, well, that's all the demons were. Oh, I'll see. Quickest way to blow their goddamn thunder, because they don't even, most of them don't even recognize that there is such a thing as a third heaven. But Corinthians chapter 12 clearly says there is. And when you got up there and saw it, it was against the law to tell anybody what you saw there. That was Roman law then. Same Roman law today, they just put you in a loony bin. So it's still against the law to tell what you see in a place of heaven. So, as a curious, you're going to be the grand council. There can only be seven men, or eight men rather, or eight women. And if there's eight men, there's seven women. If there's eight women, there's seven men. You have to be the rank of a full colonel or better to sit on grand council. And you take advice from all the other colonels, full birds, in the corps, regardless of your rank. When you're sitting on the grand council, you are taking orders if you need to, and advice, opinions, from all the other colonels there are in the corps. Right now there are none, so you needn't worry about it. But if you grow, that's what you're going to have. The grand council is not only the constitutional congress, it is the everyday operational administration, and it's the judicial. You're the Supreme Court as much as you are anything else on that grand council. That means if somebody is charged, then you better be spiritually adept to go find out. And you'll know right damn quick if you practice. If
we are here pushing here until yonder, you're not going to be anything but opinionated. Well, so and so said, fine. If you're that loud damn stupid, you deserve to fail, and you will. You don't take anybody's word for anything but your own, and you test it all. You're not going to lose access to the Most High unless you get off on these goddamn pussy tandems. I don't see how he's put up with that as long as he has. But I made the comment to him one time. I was kept in hell for failures. So these goddamn ninnies would go off on their own fuck-headed agendas and screw things up entirely. It finally cost us a second refuge. I can try to fight against the fuck. Hell with it. They would do their bunch of horse shit instead of what I told them to do. And it went sour. So I was getting my ass chewed, and I told the old man, I said, well then, why don't you give me a half a dozen punches and see if that'll be any improvement? That took him a while. Then Rosalind asked us to put the Grand Council back together. I started praying, Shiloh, Diane, and Jean Marie at that time, trying to keep Roz up long distance. And finally, we came up with a half dozen. We got Patrick, we got Roz, we had Jean Marie, Diane, Shiloh, and Kate. And let me tell you, those six girls raised more hell and pulled more shit out of the fire than you can imagine. And I mean, they have kicked some royal ass. A prime example, how long has it been since you saw Barack Obama fail or do anything that didn't come up stupid since the girls put stupid in his ass? Like Jean Marie, Diane, and Shiloh did, and George Bush. How long's it been since he's done anything that didn't just flat friggin' backfire because it's so friggin' stupid? When they lit George Bush's ass, he was riding the walk of doing everything there to give me the yippity, what a big deal he was. They got together, put a three of them together. I was standing on the outside feeding that energy. And they put stupid in George Bush's ass. And he never did it. He hasn't done an intelligent thing since. Even in retirement, he does something. It comes up stupid. So, we took my half dozen girls and raked up a truckload of ass, and we're still doing it. Now, I'm gonna open this beer, hold on a minute. Boom, and if it does, I'm gonna drink it before it goes in the garbage can. Ah. Mr. Bottle of Beer, I was drinking beer before you were beer, so you have to do better than that to catch me. Anyhow, that is the kind of people we are and the firepower that we are. And then look at the, let's take another one that's a little bit off work, main target, a little bit, not entirely. With the Black End location. We started to get this out of Canaan. Now look what happened when we started pulling all this shit with, and it started from the top down. In 1 week, we had the NAACP make a blunder, accusing the Tea Party of being racist, which they wound up having to eat. Rangel's thing came to a head out of nowhere. And the Democrat Party that runs this thing does not want this Rangel situation in the final throes of a campaign for election, but it
out there, but they can't do anything about it. Then you've got Waters on the other end. You've got Holder, who's the Attorney General in Black, and refusing to prosecute the Black Panthers for voter intimidation. All in 1 week. 1 week, 10 days. Bam, 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 bam. And then Michelle takes off to Spain where the security pays $75,000 a day while there's people in Chicago and New York and Detroit, and especially in the black communities, that are hungry. They don't even have a package of wieners. And she's parading in Spain. Now, if that is a stupid move, I don't know what the hell you'd call it. But when my careers put stupid in somebody's ass, they bring a new level of definition of it. But that's who we are. We're the Koreans. The part of the Lord, so-called Lord's Prayer, which says, deliver us from evil. That's not what it says. It's not what was said originally. It was, help us to live in such manner that the Koreans will not testify against us. Protect us from a Korea. That's how it's pronounced in Aramaic, Akuria. Well, I can see why they would need that, can't you? But those are why we have to learn the things that we learn, and why we have to do the things that we need to do. And we're not limited in power. It's all there for us. But no one is just sort of tapping us on the head and suddenly endowing us with being Mandrake the magician. It ain't happening. Emmanuel spent 18 years working as a carpenter with his hands. He cut stone, he built vessels, make furniture and everything. But he was primarily a hand worker, and that's what they called him. Carpenters were the ones that are term. Except they also worked in stone building houses and barns and fences and digging wells and lining them and everything else. But when he wasn't working on a job to make money, it went to the community at Guamon. They were studying. They would copy scrolls, but they would also teach one another these spiritual powers. And it took Emmanuel altogether 18 years before he went out on his own. But he had to learn how to do it. And he left us a clue that the Romans didn't know what the hell they were talking about, or that they'd sure taken it out. He said, my work, but the Father within does the work. Some father is conscious. That's where they got all mixed up in the I Am and the cross and the Jesus and all. Those are titles. And they didn't have any idea then. They don't have any idea now what the hell they were talking about. But that makes perfect sense for us, though, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any more questions?
Bobby, I've got a few that are rolling around in my head, but one to start off with, based on what you also talked about, we need to come up with new invocations.
We're going to have to rewrite them all, yes. We need to get them up to date so they'll run different. Make damn sure that we have find the, out of Canaan. For the one of a term that I don't like, our black Akuris, that is not what we are. We're Akuris, but the folk Kush out of Canaan. Alright, when we went out, we researched it. I've got some input from everybody. And I've deliberately went out and checked it myself, and the bottom line's in 3 points. And we have to attack them pretty much in this order, because one is just slightly larger than the other one. So we'll have to write invocations for it. Let me give you an example. The first thing in the black community that we got to hit, surprisingly, is the churches that bring Jesus stranglehold. You'd have thought it would have been socialism. But it isn't. So how will you have with worship? Every time somebody says, oh, Jesus did, Jesus that, Jesus the other. Horseshit. That's a problem, not a solution. The second one that we got to bust out of the black community, the black mindset, is race mixing. Because they look at it as an escape. It isn't. It's a bigger prison. And the third one, of all things, is the ornament of homosexuality, primarily homosexuality. That's better. Those are the three big decrements in the black community. And we need to rewrite the invocations so that those three things will come to the fore from where we are now. Now, what we've got now is working. But it isn't working as efficiently as we need. We need to update to those 3 points. And pretty much concentrate on those 3 points. Because when you bring those three up, socialism will fall simply because they'll start thinking, wait a minute. We don't need 7 generations of a welfare check. And the moment you do that, socialism just collapses. So do we need to rewrite these things? Yes, we have to constantly update them. But one of the things that you have to do, and I'm talking to you as Grand Council members, you're going to have to start reading the cities. You're going to have to start reading the political stands. Everybody looks at Bozo and thinks that he represents the government. He does not. He's the patsy out front. Now, he's a part of it, and he can't be dismissed. But if you just read him, you've got a totally distorted picture of what the U.S. government, especially the administration, is about and what it's up against and who's really running the show. And you can't have it both ways. You have got to put the hammer in that one. You've got to learn to read these things. Send you a body of light out. Or practice with your spirit. You can do that. You're not going anywhere. Either one will work. As a matter of fact, I suggest you use one time and the other the next. Until you can actually read these things and pay attention to the news. For many years, the first thing on my agenda when I wake up in the morning is to get a news briefing. Now, that's not saying that when I watch the news I buy into their bullshit. Primarily I watch it to find out what the hell they're lying about today. And whatever they're lying about today is one of your dots you better connect. What are they lying about today? What if they're lying about something, then they're also hiding something. If they're hiding something, why is it being built on that? Council, you had better know. For because there will come a time when a few, you're never going to get the planet to do it. So don't worry about that. But there will be a time when there will be those, some of your associates right now, that will come to you and expect you to have answers for them, because they won't. And you better have the answers. And the only way you're going to get that is by paying attention to what we're talking about right now. If you don't have those things down, and have them down cold, you're just literally wasting your damn time alive, even. But how many people do you know of right now that, for all intents and purposes, serve no purpose other than to people the damn place or populate the place? The one we're in that is going to be fallen.
It's totally worthless. God damn everybody I know.
Well, there's coming a point, and it's coming faster than some people are going to like it, where the Nephilim are going to have to show up. Whether they appear to anybody or not won't make any difference. They're going to be here and doing this job. And they're going to get rid of a bunch of those that serve no purpose. What good purpose does the street pimp serve when all he does is beat up the girls and take their money? Why should that son of a bitch even be alive? I can understand the girls maybe having to be out there. But what's with him?
He's not. He doesn't do anything.
Beats the hell out of them and takes their money. Supposedly protected. From what? Another son of a bitch like him? No. There are a lot of people out there, for all intents and purposes, and race has nothing to do with it, are totally freaking worthless. They don't contribute a goddamn thing. They're worse than welfare pit suckers. And there's a day coming when these people are going to be running and screaming with their stupidity intact, and they're worse than any motorcycle gang when it comes down to violence. But they have nothing else. They can't contribute anything. And you have to know who those people are, and you have to have the firepower to handle them. And you're not going to get it if you don't practice. There's a post already on the board. Matter of fact, on a couple of our boards, called Who Has Murdered the Most? It's a question we asked ages ago. And the ones that murdered the most are the socialists. Well, if you try to attack socialism head on, you're going to lose, and the reason is simple. Most of the people that think socialism is a good deal are sitting on the editor's desk of all the publications, on the producer's desk of all the networks, in the prosecutor's offices, and on the benches of the court. Now you tell me what good it's going to be to whine or complain to them. It ain't happening. The only thing you can do with those people is exterminate them. And in time, that extermination will come, whether we do it or not. But in the meantime, it's a waste of time. So we have to have one firepower, and ass loads of it. You will never develop all the firepower that you will find an occasion to use. You'll come up against one, two of them, I thought it was about 10 times the wall. And that's the day I want you to avoid. Even then, when you're tearing things all to hell. But you have to have this as individuals and then get together as a team. Our team practices are damn effective. Make no mistake. But so are the solos. When you go out and do things like the creek gets up sometimes, which is already up, at 2 o'clock in the morning, she'll do an invocation or thereabouts to somebody's ass, and you'll see them crack. You'll see the crack come into their bed. And yes, she's hit a few of these so-called black help outfits that don't do anything but bleed the black community, or bleed the taxpayers, keeping that black community part screwed up, but they don't fool her. She sees them for what they are. And when she does that, she's done too gentle with them. I can't ever imagine why, but she's not. And those are very effective. And every time she rehearses, you can feel the difference. Every time I talk to her, she's stronger than she was before. And let me see if I can stick my foot in my mouth for good, Patrick. How many times a week do you go through your drill studying a constant air, fire, water, and earth?
Every day.
At least once a day.
No, every day, at least once a day, yes.
And then when you start taking the planes of heaven, and I can understand why you don't want to go down, get the planes of heaven first, that's perfectly all right. But you can go up in the spirit in those, and you don't need a body of light. Never go down with your own spirit in the body of light. But you have to practice with a body of light to be able to do that.
Yes.
Now, once you learn how to make a body of light proper, you're going to make a new one, and it'll do everything that you've ever taught in a body of light before to do. It's because you can make it do that on minute one. You don't have to start from the zero and train them.
No, and I think this is why it was easier for me to get to Chicago, to the grave site, to the cemetery.
Yep.
Boy, I cleaned that out real good.
Oh, yeah. You remember when they had the problem with the black graveyard in Chicago, where some of the graves have been molested, whatever you want to call them, put in the wrong place?
And they were also resold.
Yep. I mean, it was a real goddamn mess. But the creek went up there and caught them all and kicked them out. Because I have some friends that are buried there. And I wanted her to take care of it. And of course, she wanted to do it anyhow. And by God, she did. Got it done. Are there any more questions? Anybody?
Bobby?
Yeah.
Dan. I've been real frustrated about the, it seems like, level up of stupidity. You mentioned the, Hallelujah Halfwits.
Mm-hmm.
That's my frustration right there. And we don't just need it in the black community. Let me tell you
this. Because we need that across the planet. But
You ain't kidding. We need to have an invitation about that. And we need it bad.
Okay, that one's a simple. That one is a simple. And you can rephrase it, and I want you to. But the way you invoke that one is for everybody to recognize the praise Jesus failures. Now that's one that ought to be in the black community. They just we mentioned earlier. Is that to recognize that Jesus didn't exist. That this is one great big failure podcast. And then it should also be a regular occurrence blast. Because it's the truth. It's just absolute worship.
Along with what Diana is saying about that, from the practice of read as you tell us, consistently, with respect to the dynamic of the problem, you have the socialists, but what you also have is both the hallelujah half-wits that is from top to bottom, back to forth, in support of the cat Jew, which is all in the support of socialism. And even though you have a lot of hallelujah half-wits that are so-called against socialism, the fact that they are furthering the cause of the Jew, and the fact that they remain and stay in a state of belief, that even their support towards the anti-socialism that they're perpetuating is consistently going nowhere. And everything that I see, like, for example, on the Facebook, but it's not just limited to Facebook, across the board, the religions are like the other half of the coin.
Yes, it is.
So, in the latest, greatest invocations, where you talked about banking, industrialization of our economy, restoring heavy inventory, you're not going to have a problem with invocations specific to religions, are you? Because I'm going back on what you just said and how you opened it up.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, praise Jesus about everything is as big a problem on the planet as socialism is, because you're right, it's one of the pillars. And it's one that feeds it. But it's more rampant, believe it or not, as part of the failures in the black community than it is on the rest of the planet. So we've got to hit that on both ends. And we have got to pound the living piss out of it. You can take the praise of Jesus all you want. Let's see it work. It doesn't work. Can't do anything. Never did. And all these assholes that are hypocrites, and this is, there's a lot of energy there, and we can use it. Every day when they open the business, both in the House and the Senate, they have an invocation. And it always ends, and in Jesus' name we ask it. It's time. Excellent. I'm glad you got a good target, because that's horseshit. And every goddamn communist, from Pelosi all the way back, do revolve their heads and say amen. Well, guess what they just handed us? And the Catholics cross themselves. There they've handed us all that energy to pound the guts out of them. And no, I don't care how you turn it against them, but it's there. Put it in their ass and crank it. Do not let them, even sick, they can get away with that one. Put it on them.
Okay, well, hand in hand with that, and I'm aligning with Shalom and bridging the gap between praise Jesus and supporting the Jews, I would suggest another invocation that the Jews are not God's chosen people.
No,
that's why
they're
supported. So invoke the Jews are not God's chosen people.
that Israel is a chosen people, and there are 13 tribes. Judah is only one of them, and fully out of favor.
Yep. Well, we have to phrase that in, and that means we've got to rewrite our invocation from time to time. And it doesn't hurt to have this library behind it, or the firepower that you need. Because when you look at the enemy, the enemy is not one little post out there. That enemy is complex. That's something that comes at you from all directions.
I see it the whole fucking world, but it's fact.
That is about it.
And we have them surrounded too, Kitty.
Yes. The only thing is, there are those out there, damn few to be sure, that are in a spiritual search, in a search for truth, and they have a problem, thanks to players of Israel. They don't recognize truth when it hits them right between the goddamn eyes. I mean, let's take old Baxter, for instance, as an example. He's been in office almost 2 years. There are still people stupid enough to think that he's not a Marxist. What does he have to do for people to understand that he's a goddamn Marxist?
People don't know what Marxism is.
Bingo! They wouldn't know the truth if it hit them right between the fucking eyes.
You can throw those words around, but they're nothing but,
words. They have no meaning for people.
They don't have a meaning. Nobody has, but you know, since they been to school from 1950 on, nobody knows anything except communist. That is the only word out of the whole socialist quadrant, the four words of socialism, four categories, did anybody even have a clue?
Yep.
If you don't say communist, they don't know socialist, what does that mean? Means nothing. Marxist, well, that doesn't mean anything either. Fascist, oh, that's different, that can't be. Unless you say communist, you're not getting anybody's attention.
That's right. Well, we have exactly the same thing with all these hallelujah hat-whips, the mentality, because it's the same people, is just as limited. So you as a Christian are going to have that library when you write these things so that you can hammer those points home. But Jesus shit doesn't work. Socialism is divided from top to bottom. But so is praise Jesus. The violation of the first and second commandments to start with. And they got all this kick that Jesus was God incarnate. Horse shit. I sat in the same office that he sat in, and I guarantee you I'm not God incarnate. I'm lucky to be me incarnate. That's bad enough. So we have to attack those things and rewrite constantly. And don't be afraid of before this thing goes down for your invocation, you're getting prepped. Get a hold of somebody and see if you ought to pray something earlier in the day, earlier in the time, earlier in the week, what the hell ever. So that when it does come time, you're fully prepared and you can click right in on it. Something ought to be changed a little bit? Fine. But don't change for the sake of change. Change because there's something needs to be changed. If you do that, you'll got a problem. Okay, any more questions?
Bobby?
Yeah?
Will you have some more time because it's getting awful late? One of the things I'd like to hear more about is the archangels.
Oh, okay. I'll probably put something together. Give you an update on who those are.
It's a therapist in there with it.
Yeah.
I've noticed the pattern.
to the seraphim in the way they were, it'd be kind of cool to hear about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't suspect him, believe me.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you could literally talk for the next 5,000 years about any one of them individually and have an outline. That's all you really get through. But these people are something else. Are there any great questions about who our target is and why?
I don't have any particular questions. What I am just so frustrated with is it's not a case that I know that we haven't had success, and I know that we aren't working and we aren't practicing, because we're doing all of those things. It's just so frustrating. And it's not just as simple as beating your head against the wall. There's just seemingly like something that's really missing.
Well, there is. Now let me tell you what is missing. The fact that we don't have enough practice or enough time to practice to get up to be able to deliver the firepower that we know we're going to need, and we need it now. But we're not going to get it until we get that practice done. If everybody will take once a week will be an improvement, and go through the drills of the grand elements, then go up the heavens and back down, and just study them. Put the energy between your hands if you have to. All right. Let's do it. Get that experience and get that library. In 1 week's time, your firepower will improve anywhere from 5 to 10% as a daily routine. You can get that much more firepower. Now some of it will take you a little longer than that. But let's say that you can get a 1%, and you go to hell of it, in the morning you take 5 minutes, then you do this, but you get a 1%. Well, and let's say that you're doing it from 100 right now. Okay? Then you get 1% on Sunday morning. On Monday morning, your operational firepower now is 101% from what it was on Sunday. But now take that 1% of 101, not 102. You follow me?
Yes, I do follow you, and the practices are there. I'm sure everybody's coming along at their own different rate, but there still seems to be something else missing.
Well, there is. Was that somebody came in or somebody beeped out?
I don't know what that was.
I think it was a beeped out.
Somebody lost the signal or something. But if you do that on the second thing, you've got 102 on Tuesday, but you got 102.01. So the 1% keeps getting better as you go. And that's why you need to practice as much as you can. And I know it's not that goddamn easy. If it were, we'd all have it down in 20 minutes and may the devil get his hindmost the hell out of the way. But that's not realistically. That is just not happening. And we need to be able to get more firepower out of each one of us. And then when we come together as a team, we've got some heat. As a matter of fact, when we're stuck in George Bush's ass, Shiloh, Diane, and Jean Marie were in what? Was that the second session that we did
was first or second.
It was just beginning.
God damn, what a wall. And we can do that, and we can do it every day, and we can do it all day long to these bastards. When you see one, put a hammer in their ass. Just don't go off on all this goddamn silly poppycock that, it seems like 99% of the people I've had in the Corps had some jackass agenda somewhere that really didn't amount to a pound of shit, even to themselves. Something they wanted to do was show their firepower or something. Well, that's not going to work for you. It just flatly isn't. So, if that is it, my children, we will go from there, it's a quarter or thereabouts, till the hour, in my time. It's been a damn good session. We know now who the hell our target is a hell of a lot better. We have some general answers that I hope fit everybody. Whether they were about marriage or relationships or what the hell ever. They're all fine. It's all about holy law, against which we have no excuse for not knowing. It's there. We can't do a hell of a lot about it because we're not Levite priests, but that doesn't mean that those that come before won't be Levite priests. We'll have some of those. And if that's it, my children, I will bid you all good night.
Thank you,
sir. You're welcome.
Thanks, Bobby, and good night.
Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.